Hey, welcome back to Indie Music Diaries. My name's Lockie. This is Casual Conversations with Real Musicians, and you are listening to a very special episode of the podcast, because today we're going to be doing an album review. And we don't usually do album reviews here, but I'm going to be breaking down a new album by an artist who is one of my biggest inspirations when it comes to music, and has been for a very long time now. John Mayer has just released his new album, Sob Rock, and we're going to be breaking it down in this episode. Hey, thanks if you've been tuning in to the previous episodes. Of course, Indie Music Diaries is a mix of guests and solo episodes. We've had some independent artists on in recent weeks. Last week, I chatted to Brendan Hamilton, who's an independent singer-songwriter based in Newcastle, Australia. And that was great because, I mean, that was the first time that we'd spoken, really, and that's why this podcast is so exciting. It's really real and organic. So you can go check out that episode if you are interested. But man, I'm excited for this episode. We're going to be breaking down this new John Mayer album, which straight off the bat I absolutely love. It's a great album, and we're going to be talking about some of the themes, some of the musical sort of ideas, and the textures inside the album. There's a lot to break down, that's the thing. And then at the end, I'm going to be ranking the songs, ranking the tracks in the album. And then it's going to be pretty contentious, I guess, but ranking the albums, all of John Mayer's eight studio albums from top to bottom. So let's jump into it. Sob Rock, surely you've listened to it. It's been one of the biggest albums at the moment. It's been charting really, really well. And this album, I mean, John, his previous albums, 2017, was The Search for Everything. And, you know, this album was interesting because he was initially going to release it in waves, sort of like a four-track EP at a time. Didn't really work out because he did two waves for Memory, and then I think he just released the full album and ended up just being 12 tracks. And that album was really, really good. I really, really enjoyed that album. Not my favorite John Mayer album, but it had some really great songs on it, that's for sure. And since then, it's been singles here and there. We had New Light 2018, I Guess I Just Feel Like, Carry Me Away. We're going to be talking about these songs very, very shortly because they, all three tracks pop up on the album. And, you know, for a while here, there wasn't really any conversation around a full-length John Mayer album until just recently this year. The news came out that John had made this album basically through lockdown in 2020. And it's here. It's here, man. And we're going to be breaking down the songs right now. Let's start off with track number one, Last Train Home, which was the first sort of single off the album, if you like. Of course, there was the previously released singles, but, you know, in terms of the first actual sort of single that was released in sort of the window, this album window, basically, was Last Train Home. Absolute banger. What a track, man. And I like that this was the first new track that he introduced, because it was a John Mayer track, that's for sure, but with a completely new sonic palette. And it was a great introduction to that sonic palette, because you had the big synths hitting on those chords, you know, right from the get-go. The production, you know, those like the congas and stuff that like happened throughout the track. It's like I said, it's classic Mayer, but it had this new flavor to it. And that was so exciting to me, because, you know, we've seen John explore a lot of different sounds throughout his career. You look back to the early 2010s, Born and Raised Paradise Valley, some more sort of like, you know, acoustic-driven, folky, country sort of inspired blues albums that are really good in their own right. And this album was a continuation of all of the work that John has made throughout his career, I believe. And he's even exploring new territory that he's never done before. And the whole 80s vibe, which is basically, you know, a consistent theme throughout this whole album, is present. And right from the get-go here on Last Train Home, it is absolutely there. Banging track, like I've said. Great music video as well. One of my favorites off the album, that's for sure. Track number two, Shouldn't Matter But It Does. And, you know, I was talking to some friends about this one. A lot of people that I know really, really liked this track. This song for me is like classic Mayer. It's a classic John Mayer track, but similar to Last Train. It's a classic John Mayer track, but just with that different sort of sonic palette. it starts off with that acoustic guitar and vocals, and it's like, yeah, this is the John Mayer we know and love. It's very comforting to hear. But then you have the underlying synthy pads, that organ underneath, really subtle. It's not overwhelming, but he gels it in so well with his usual thing that it works to perfection. And it doesn't detract from the songwriting in this song at all. Like, lyrically, one of his strongest songs. Really honest and open. And that's another thing, especially lyrically with a lot of the themes on this album, I feel like. It's incredibly honest and open, and it's desperate. And I really, really like that John is really sort of leaning into that. And, you know, the album is called Sob Rock. It's like, it's a sappy album. And shouldn't matter, but it does. Really leans into that idea, that's for sure. A couple of things for this one. A rare Mayer F-bomb. How often do we have Mayer F-bomb? I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but this might be the first track, released track, that John Mayer has dropped an F-bomb. Which, when it was there, I was like, okay, whoa. That caught me off guard, because obviously you don't usually get that. But it's in there. And a beautiful, the bridge of the song. I've got to talk about the bridge of the song, because it's that the instrumental sort of section after that second chorus. Really Fleetwood Mac-y, reminds me of Everywhere, Fleetwood Mac. And just sort of the, it's like, what is it, like a 4-4-1-5 sort of chord progression, and that sort of the ooze in the background as well, the vocals. And actually those sort of old school themes, like his inspirations, I feel like we're playing in really, really heavily into this album. Stuff like Fleetwood Mac, Eric Clapton. Yeah, that's for sure. But this song, this great song, as I already mentioned, track number 2, shouldn't matter, but it does. Now, track number 3 is the first of the previously released singles. And this one is one of my favorite John Mayer tracks of all time. New Light, absolute banger. And so glad that he decided to include these older tracks on the album. Because, you know, it's been 3 years since this song was released, which is crazy. I think that it's been that long already. But the thing with these, I'll say about these previously released tracks, is that they fit into the album so well. They really, really do. Even though he wrote them, you know, ages ago without even thinking about potentially putting them onto an album, I think he said it himself that he was sort of just doing the singles for the time being, you know, a couple of years ago. These songs fit in so perfectly. And John Mayer, I'm starting to realize, is the master at perfecting track lists. He knows where to put little moments here and there. You ride the roller coaster ride with it, and he just knows what to do. He knows in terms of where certain emotional beats are going to hit, big moments, you know, the opening track, all that sort of stuff. So New Light and track 3, all time banger. So that's all I got to say about that one. Number 4, Why You Know Love Me, and this is the first interesting one, right? Because I think this is the one that sort of caught a lot of people off guard. Maybe not caught people off guard, but people were sort of like, like, interesting. And I sort of felt that way too. Bottom line, I really liked the track. It grew on me a little bit. And I remember some of the conversations around it were like, why don't you call it, why don't you love me? And I think it was John that explained it. Did he? Oh, yeah, that's right. It was in his interview that he did with Zane Lowe. Just before the album dropped. Check that out if you haven't already. That interview that they did. And he sort of explained that the song, it had to have that title because it's all about, it's that pain that's sort of hitting the child at heart, the kid inside. And it made sense so much. And the falsetto in the chorus really represents that sort of idea really, really well. And fun fact, John Mayer actually mentioned this in his Clubhouse chat thing that he did for the release of the album. He revealed that Maren Morris is actually on that high-pitched vocal in the chorus of Why You Know Love Me, which really surprised me because I went back and listened to it and you can't really pick it out. You can't hear it at all. But that's sort of cool. They must have tucked it in really sort of smoothly because obviously John's doing sort of like a falsetto there. But Maren Morris snuck in there as well. And this song, and he mentioned it in the Clubhouse, but reminiscent of All We Ever Do Is Say Goodbye, which is a track off Battle Studies, his 2009 album. The same, similar sort of thing with the, you know, the acoustic guitar driving the song, and also the falsetto chorus, which is very similar to what he did here as well. So some parallels there. And that's not the only time in this album where I spotted some sort of parallels to some previous tracks in Mayer's repertoire, that's for sure. But Why You No Love Me, a track that I do enjoy, but it's quite a peculiar track in a way, but peculiar in a good way. Some of the chord progressions, especially at the start, the song opens up with these sort of dissonant chords. He's plucking through these dissonant chords, and it's not very... You don't see that often from John Mayer. Usually he keeps it fairly safe chord-wise when it comes to chord progressions, right? Or musically. It's never too jolting. And this wasn't jolting. It was just a bit like, huh. Like, that was my reaction. I was like, oh, okay. And then afterwards, I was like, I actually kind of like this. Like, I like that it's sort of a little bit... It's not off-putting, but it's a bit... It was just unexpected. Like I said, it's not a sort of thing that there's plenty of key changes in the song too. You don't often see that too much from John Mayer. Usually, as I mentioned, he keeps it pretty straightforward when it comes to sort of chord progressions and that sort of stuff. But yeah, Why You No Love Me. Not my favorite on the album, but still really, really like it. And I'm sure a lot of people out there do as well. But we're going to shuffle on to the big guns now. And this next song, track 5, John Mayer said himself on an interview I saw somewhere, but he said it that this was his favorite track off the album. And I can understand why, because it's such a cool track, Wild Blue. Now, John released a snippet of this song a couple months prior to the release of the album on his TikTok. And as soon as he released it, it was just like the opening sort of like, 30 seconds of the song or something? So we only caught like the first verse and intro. And I was instantly intrigued because it sounded really groovy. And, this song echoes back to I Don't Trust Myself and Helpless. In a way, hang on, because you sort of don't pick that up initially. But when you think about it, John Mayer doesn't really write that many songs in minor keys. They're few and far between. And this one was sort of, for me at least, was echoing back to I Don't Trust Myself and Helpless, all songs in the key of A minor. And the way the chord progressions moved around those songs just felt very similar to me. Just the vibes, just the feel. Think back, Wild Blue, the vocal delivery and everything, it's all very intimate. And that sort of that subtle groove, which is really, really cool. And one of my favorite things about this track. And, a song like Don't Trust Myself off Continuum has a similar thing where it's very subtle and it's very sort of moody and misty with its delivery, not just vocally, but through the music as well, with sort of like the very chill, subtle guitars and everything. So I don't know if that was intentional. Probably wasn't, but I just noticed some echoes there to some previous stuff. But that underlying groove in the song is so, so cool. The things that the drum, I'm not a drummer, but like the sort of the thing that the drums were doing every couple bars, just sort of like speeding up the hi-hats a little bit, just gave it that little bit of just that drive and that groove to it. Felt really, really good. And the jam out at the end as well, which is a lot of fun. And a solo in the song too, which is pretty understated. It wasn't a ripping, overdriven guitar solo that we usually see. It's pretty clean. And we actually see that a couple times on this album. John Mayer solos that are not necessarily just, smashing blues guitar solos, which I like. I like that he's shaking it up. And I did a cover of this song on actually well, for me, it was actually the day after. Oh, no, it was the day of release because it was that Friday. But, of course, here in Australia, I sort of got the album earlier than other people. Of course, it hits midnight earlier here in Australia. But I put up a cover on this on YouTube, and it's already clocked up 10,000 views. So thank you so much if you've checked out that cover. If you haven't, I'll make sure to have it linked in the description wherever you listen to this podcast. But that was fun to do, recreate this song. And the next song in the track list I also did a cover of actually as well, Shot in the Dark, is track 6. And I'll say it right now, my favorite track on the album. And this song, I think with this song, it's the most 80s inspired, I'll say. Right from the get-go, the chorus. It's similar to Last Train Home, where you've sort of got those guitar triads, sort of that main riff that it's playing in that verse. And it's so, the atmosphere in the song. And it's made again by the stellar production, just the little subtle things, the underlying synths, that sort of echoing piano, the delay on the vocals, the reverb and the echo on the vocals. And it is all, the song is perfectly coupled by the music video. If you haven't seen the music video for Shot in the Dark, go and watch it. It's bold, but I like it. I like that he just goes all out and leans into it. At the end, he's dancing and it's awesome. And he's doing the bloody thing where he's like smashing on the wall or something. It's great. Make sure you go check that out. But this song, man, I love it so much just because it's unapologetic in a way. It's unapologetic in the way that it portrays itself. I think when you a song like Shot in the Dark, a lyric that sort of sums it up for me, and this is one of my favorite lyrics on the album, and probably just because it's delivered in such a big, punchy way, the bridge. I want you in the worst way. Is your gate code still your birthday? It's desperation. This song is desperation. And John Mayer's becoming the master at writing about desperation now. And this song is a testament to that. And again, I think for all these reasons, that's why I love it so much. It's songwriting that's honest, that's bold, and is, as I mentioned, unapologetic as well. It doesn't really hold back at all. And we're seeing that even going back to, I should have mentioned that for Why You No Love Me. You know, again, it's a similar thing. It's unapologetic. And it's Why You No Love Me, you know, it shouldn't matter, but it does. All these songs are so honest as well. And so really, really love that. But we'll keep shuffling along. Track number 7, I Guess I Just Feel Like. And this is a song, looking at it at the album, for me, it's one of the lyrically strongest songs on the album. But I Guess I Just Feel Like, I just realized that was sort of tying in that sense as well, because I was going to say, I guess I just feel like this isn't necessarily one of my favorite songs on the album, which isn't to say that I dislike the song or that it's a bad song. I know a lot of Mayer fans that love this track. For me, I just don't personally connect with it that much, but I appreciate how cool it is and sort of the underlying themes under the song. And especially, I mean, down here, Greater Sydney, Australia, where I live, obviously going through lockdown at the moment if you are living in this area. But if you're not, yeah, so we're going through another, of course, pandemic lockdown at the moment. And some of the lyrics on this album, this song, I guess I just feel like really stood out to me. And we're just hitting home. So it's always good back to sort of listen to these songs in retrospect. And sometimes lyrics can jump out at you. So, and this is specifically one of those songs that does that. And listening back to this song, actually, and a handful of songs in this album, it's interesting how they sort of have echoes sonically to previous moments in Mayer's career, previous albums. I was listening to I Guess I Just Feel Like, again, while I was going for a walk the other morning, and I was like, this sounds a lot like Paradise Valley, just sort of the textures and stuff. Like, this song would fit really well in Paradise Valley. And then I realized that with some of the other songs on the album, like, for example, like Wild Blue sort of feels like a continuum track. I don't know. You might understand what I mean if you're a longtime Mayer fan. It just has that sort of vibe. And then, you know, a song like Shouldn't Matter But It Does probably has a Born and Raised vibe, right? Just that sort of driving acoustic guitar. And that's what I felt like with a lot of these songs. They're almost like little callbacks to sort of moments here and there, which is cool. I like that. But again, it's all totally fresh and new in a new light. Let's keep going. Track number 8, Till the Right One Comes. This is the song that has grown on me the most out of all the new tracks. And initially, on the initial listen through, as I was, you know, lying in bed at 12:30 a.m., as I was giving my first listen through to the album, this is the one that sort of slipped by for me. Not to say that it was a bad track, but I mean, probably the track placing, track 8, I sort of just, you know, I sort of just breezed through it and was like, oh yeah, that's kind of cool. Sort of, again, another one of those songs that sort of felt a bit Paradise Valley-ish or a bit like Roll It On Home, that sort of like just sort of boppy, sort of acoustic driven song. Listening back to it since, it's one of my favorite songs on the album, and it's a song that feels like, again, it's an ode to John's inspirations to the past. It just feels just very drivey and swingy. And I remember it actually reminded me a lot, And I don't know whether this was an intentional sort of connection that John did when he was writing his song, but I saw John, I've seen John Mayer live twice, 2014 and 2019, both in Sydney. And in 2014, I believe it was, he did a cover of Promises by Eric Clapton. I think it's by Eric Clapton. To be honest, I don't really know the original song that well. I just know it through John playing it. But this song sort of reminded me of that. And I wonder if a song like Till the Right One Comes is almost an ode to that sort of 70s, 80s sort of pop rock stuff. I mean, again, I don't really know too much about what I'm saying because like I'm not too familiar with the music of that era. But that's what it sounded like to me. And oh man, there's a moment in the song, the little acoustic break after the second chorus in the it's just before the guitar solo hits. You know what I'm talking about if you've listened to the song. It's so random because that's such a, it feels pointless the moment, but I love it so much in hindsight, like listening back to it. It only goes for a couple bars and it's almost comedic in the way it sounds. And it's like, what is this? And then he just goes into that ripping guitar solo a couple bars after. It's different, but it's cool. Just so he just threw it in there just for fun. So nice little acoustic break in there after that second chorus. But Till the Right One Comes, give it another listen if you've sort of breezed through this track. But a hidden gem on this album, I reckon, that's for sure. Then track 9, Carry Me Away. And again, another one of these previously released songs. And again, fits perfectly on this album. Love how he went back and redid some of the production on this album. You know, adding some drums, some extra guitars. What else did he add? I think maybe the vocal production is a little bit different on this rendition as well. But those sonic changes really helped this track fit into the album even better. And has one of my favorite lyrics of all time. I wrote it down. You know I need you, and that's for sure. You're just the kind of crazy I've been looking for, which is the final line of that second verse. And I love the whole second verse. It's just so punchy and drivey. And I really loved this song when it was first released, and still do. It's a great track on this album. And that leads us to track 10, which is All I Want Is To Be With You. And then again, going back to my point that I was saying before about the desperation on this album, in the songwriting, Sob Rock, the title of the album. And again, this is another song that really sums it up. And through the title, you get that straight away. I mean, I remember seeing the track listing and seeing this is the last song. I was like, oh man, we're ending on a big desperate note here. All I want is to be with you. And I only realized this just recently. And I don't know if anyone's picked it up or whether this is an intentional thing or whether I'm reading into it too much. But this is sort of, it has reflections to the final track on Continuum, I'm Gonna Find Another You. And it's interesting seeing Mayer's career, not just progression through albums, but just his career in music. And, you know, Continuum 2006, a time when Mayer was really at his peak, you'd probably have to say. Or not, you know, don't know whether you'd say at his peak, but he was at a really, really high level. And not just musically, but in terms of his fame and his sort of celebrity life, he was getting really, really popular. And there was a confidence and a swagger in sort of everything he was doing when it came to music and his celebrity life. And I'm Gonna Find Another You sort of represented that at the time, from my point of view at least. And you look at John now, he's in his 40s. He's very reflective about everything. And just watching him in interviews and stuff. And again, I mean, what am I saying? Because I don't know him personally. But he seems like he's grown and matured so much. Not to say that he wasn't mature back, you know, a couple decades ago. But just when you look at the title of this song, All I Want Is To Be With You, it's an acceptance. Not an acceptance of defeat, but an acceptance of sort of where he is. And an acceptance, you know, it's honest. It's an honest song. And again, I keep using that word desperation, but that's what it is. It's a it's a desperate acceptance, if that makes sense. But I think that's what the song is. So I don't know maybe whether he made some intentional connections there back to I'm Gonna Find Another You. But I like to think that there's a connection there. And this song, I mean, has a very unique vocal delivery, which I really like. Very somber, which again leads into the themes of the track. And I like that. I like that somber, very different delivery. It's not a delivery we sort of hear too often, but he just, you could tell he's just the way he was singing it, really, really cool. And then at the end of the song, hey, a rare ripping male guitar solo at the end of this song. And I say rare because there weren't many big overdriven solos. Tube Screamer, whack it on. Weren't many big ripping solos on this album apart from, you know, a little bit on Last Train Home. Where else was there one? I mean, I guess I just feel like at the end of that one, there's one as well. But as I mentioned, some of the other solos on this album are pretty clean and different. When you look at songs like Why You Know Love Me, Wild Blue, very clean solos. But this one, he just goes to town. And it's a solo that has desperation. It's dripping with desperation. So there you go. It really aligns itself nicely with the themes of this song and album. But that is Sob Rock. 10 tracks, really nicely balanced, this album. Really, really enjoy it. Time to rank the songs on this album. And this is where it's going to get interesting. And again, this is just my personal preference, just my personal favorites, not necessarily the best songs. And this is for right now. Who knows? This might change. Coming in at number 10 is actually track 10, All I Want Is To Be With You. Just a song that doesn't necessarily connect with me too much or I vibed with a lot, but still a great track. And I acknowledge that it is a great track. Number 9 is, I guess I just feel like, as I mentioned before, just not a track that I vibe with that, all that much. Again, like I said, a lot of people like this mad track, but just not one of my top ones. Ranking number 8 is Carrying Me Away. It's Carrying Me Away. And I mean, I said I really like this song, but I think I like the newer songs better at the moment just because there's a bit more excitement around those ones. In number 7, I've got Why You Know Love Me. Yeah, that might go up. That might go up. I find that a really, really interesting song. Number 6, To the Right One Comes. Number 5, Shouldn't Matter But It Does. Great song. And then the top four was sort of a lock for me, these four tracks. Yeah, number 4, I've got Last Train Home, which I love so much. Every time I listen to it, man, so good. Number 3, New Light, because it's one of the greatest songs of all time. And then it was tricky to split the top two. Number 2 is Wild Blue for me. Again, just love it so much. What a great track. But number 1, and actually I said it before, so this sort of isn't really a big reveal, but it's my favorite track on the album, Shot in the Dark. So good, man. Just the atmosphere on this song. And you know what the atmosphere reminds me of? Edge of Desire. Edge of Desire is a song that has that sort of similar atmosphere where it's a dark room. Sort of like the music video. If you've seen the music video, it's a dark room. I like how he's sort of got those, you know, the coloured sort of window panes and the lights seeping through and it's very moody and dark. But track one, ranking one on my track list for Sob Rock is Shot in the Dark. So, I mean, let me know, what's your ranking list for this album? We'd love to know because I think it would be pretty mixed for people. I mean, that goes to compliment the album, how good it is. All the tracks, you know, there aren't really any poor tracks at all. Well, I mean, how often do we ever see any poor Mayer tracks? But yeah, really, really enjoyed this, just the album overall. Now, what does that look like in the album ranking? Well, this is where it's going to get even more interesting, right? Because this is a hotly debated topic in terms of where do all of Mayer's albums sit in a ranking. And again, same thing, this is just my personal preference. Number 8, Heavier Things. I really enjoy all these albums, I'll say, straight off the bat. Really enjoy all of these albums, but number 8, Heavier Things. Number 7, Paradise Valley. Number 6, The Search for Everything, an album that I actually really like and has a lot of really good songs. Number 5, Room for Squares. Number 4, Born and Raised, which is a lot of people's top, but I've actually got it 4th. Number 3, I've put Sob Rock. I've put Sob Rock at number 3. And again, that might go up or down. Some people calling this the best album since Continuum, maybe. Number 2 is Battle Studies. I actually really like Battle Studies. I really like the sounds on that album and has, again, just an album that has some really great tracks on it. And then number 1, of course, is Continuum. It shouldn't be a surprise, Continuum. I mean, it's one of the greatest albums of all time. Come on, what are we talking about? But that is my favorite John Mayer album of all time, Continuum. Just top to bottom, just a killer album. Who knows? Maybe we'll have to do a separate podcast on the best John Mayer albums. But hey, thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of my podcast, Indie Music Diaries. If you want to check out my stuff, I'm an indie pop artist based in on the Central Coast here, New South Wales, Australia. And I just released my debut EP, Crush On You, which is available on all the streaming platforms. I'll leave a link to that in the description. If you want to check out my original music, I really appreciate that support. And this podcast, this is a weekly podcast, and it drops on every single podcast platform, or you can also check out the video episodes on the Indie Music Diaries YouTube channel. And make sure to hit me up on social media. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of the places, TikTok, YouTube. You can find me at Lockie Music on all those platforms. And again, everything you could ever want to find will be linked down below in the description, wherever you're listening to this podcast. Whether you're a John Mayer fan or you're just here for a good time on the podcast, thanks so much for checking out this episode. And I'll chat to you guys next Wednesday. Cheers.